Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from Yahweh, and my cause is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. You know, it's fascinating to watch an artist as he performs his craft. Take a painter, for example. He begins by stretching a canvas over a wooden frame. He carefully mixes his colors to find just the right one. He chooses from an arsenal of brushes to pick the perfect one to make the perfect stroke on the canvas. He layers the paint in just the right way to achieve the proper effect. He stands back from a distance to get a better look, and he comes in close, centimeters away from the painting, to see the finest details. He'll spend months or even years on a single work of art to make it exactly how he wants it. Yes, the artist knows his work more intimately than anyone else. Our text this morning uses language that almost portrays God as an artist, right? Isaiah says that he stretches out the heavens like a canopy, and there he does his creating work. Not with a paintbrush, but with his powerful word, he creates light and dark, sun, moon, and stars, land, plants, birds, fish, all kinds of animals, and finally, mankind. This is Yahweh everlasting, the God who knows every intimate detail of his masterpiece, who counts every single hair of your head, which takes longer for some than for others. But this also means that he knows. He knows every detail of his creation. He knows every detail of every life, of every person. And we usually get at this idea by saying something like, you know, God is in control. He's got the whole world in his hands. I guess that's sort of a nice thought. But, you know, by the same token, it's not necessarily good news. It certainly isn't always comforting. I mean, we take an honest look at the world around us and realize that in many ways, it looks less like a work of art and more like a living nightmare. Evil seems to triumph. Suffering and injustice run amok. Wicked, lawless, licentious living has become normative, and it replaces any sort of order that's guided by a moral compass. And then there's death. Death, who claims those that we deem not ready or not deserving of death, either because they're too young or they're such good people or for whatever reason. We look around and we see how God's beautiful work of creation has been sullied and soiled by human sin and rebellion. Like black paint smeared all over an artist's masterpiece. And we can say that God is in control and that he's got the whole world in his hands all we want. But that begs a very difficult question. If God is in control, then why doesn't it look like it? Why does it seem that he's so content to do nothing about these things? Well, these questions aren't new. They've been on the lips of God's people for ages. And specifically in our text this morning, it's not so much a question as it is a bold statement made by God's people Israel, who declare, "My way is hidden from Yahweh." My way is hidden from God. Now, that's kind of a strange thing to say, considering the people who are saying it. After all, it was Yahweh who had delivered their ancestors along the way of salvation out of Egyptian slavery. It was Yahweh who had sustained them on the way through the desert. He had been there every single moment of those 40 long years, hearing the grumbling and yet still providing. It was Yahweh who had seen the way of his people, who upon entering the land that he graciously gave them, start disobeying his word and choosing their own way, becoming idolatrously friendly with the godless nations around them. Yahweh knew intimately the way of his anointed kings, who time and again failed to lead his people faithfully and more often than not led them into the way of idolatry, eventually into exile. The way of God's people, Isaiah reminds us in chapter 5, had been to call evil good and to call good evil. And this Yahweh, who is everlasting, was around to see every minute detail of the way of his people. Yes, God intimately knew the way of Israel, and that's exactly why they're in the mess that they were in. It was their sin, their rebellion, their chasing after idols that brought the righteous judgment of God upon them. And yet they still have the gall to declare of God, "Our way is hidden from him." As if to say, will God even act? Is he even powerful to do so? I suppose we're not all that different, are we? I mean, when suffering strikes, our sinful reaction is to take the stance of the victim, right? And to demand an answer from God, to declare that he must not care, otherwise things would be different. After all, he knows every detail of my life, right? He's in control, right? And yet it seems that he's either too callous or too impotent to do anything about this suffering. Okay, maybe you don't say it so forthrightly. Maybe you say it far more subtly by asking the question, why? Why is this happening to me? It sounds a little more innocent than such a forthright declaration, but the idea is the same. Things aren't going the way I think they should be, so God must give an account. And we have the gall to think that if God actually gave us an answer, it would actually be good enough for us. I'm convinced he could give us 10,000 reasons for why things are going the way they are, and we would still demand one more. Rather than simply recognizing our part in sullying God's good creation and simply praying, God be merciful to me, a sinner, we would rather demand that God justify his action or his inaction according to our way of things. Well, notice the answer that God gives to his people through Isaiah. He doesn't give them an answer to their complaint, really. Rather, he simply reminds them of who he is as their gracious and powerful Lord. This is the God who calls into existence, like a work of art, the entire creation with nothing more than a word. This is the God who has measured all of the waters in the hollow of his hand. He is the one who has marked off the foundations of the earth and weighed the mountains in a scale. This is the everlasting God, who does not grow faint or weary, but gives power to the faint. This is the God who would carry them out of their captivity on eagle's wings, but not just out of Babylonian exile. No, it was far better than that. He would deliver them out of the exile and captivity of sin. Yes, his ways are truly far above ours. He certainly does know the way of his people, the sinful way of his people, and that's why he acts. To see his way, simply look at what he does with his only son, our Lord Jesus Christ. For there, in Christ, we see some of the strangest work that this divine artist that we could ever imagine. Elsewhere in Isaiah, he calls this work of God strange, alien work. For God sends his only Son into the world not to give the wicked and sinful what they are due, but to give them, to give you, precisely what you don't deserve. Christ comes and walks the road, the way to the cross, and there on the cross, you don't see an earthly masterpiece, but a man who is soiled and sullied, not with his own blood, but with your sin. This God hanging on a tree certainly doesn't look mighty and powerful. He doesn't look to be in control. He certainly doesn't seem strong. In fact, he does grow faint and weary and weak, even to the point of death. And we could all cry out, I suppose, even as Jesus does, why? Don't you know? Haven't you heard? This Jesus is the Lord, the everlasting God. He may be weak and weary and dead for a time, but he sure doesn't stay that way. No, on Easter morning, God paints a masterpiece and gives it to the world, the only answer that they need. Spoken from the angel's lips, he is not here, he is risen. And the entire creation is thrust forward towards that day when Christ will finally come again to restore all things and make them new. Of course, in the meantime, the suffering is still here. The way of the wicked is still so often prevailing. Death will still claim every single one of us, should the Lord tarry. And the why questions will never go away. However, the cross and the empty tomb give us an answer to the question, why? And it is this. I don't know. I don't know. But here's Jesus. Why does God seem to let terrorists prevail? I don't know, but here's Christ, who will one day put his enemies under his feet. Why has God allowed my child or my father or my spouse or my brother to die? I don't know, but here's Christ, who has the victory over sin and death and the grave. Why does God allow me to wrestle day in and day out with addiction and selfishness and pride and sin? I don't know, but here's Christ, who takes it all to the cross and rises again to forgive you. We certainly don't know all the ways of our everlasting God. We certainly don't know all the details of what he's up to, but what we do know is enough. That Christ has died, Christ has risen, and one day Christ will return to put all things to right again. And on that day, this work of art that is his creation will be just as it should be again. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.